You want to go and take your Bibles with me this morning and turn them to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This morning we are going to be looking at a way the both how we might grow in Christ in helping us learn, and also a challenge in how we might help others grow in Christ as well. And that has to do with the idea of an example, of looking at one or learning from somebody. When you think of an example or someone imitating or someone following after in what someone does, the first thing that comes to my mind is a child. Many of you with kids can probably agree to this, that children often act out and do different things because their parents do it. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of little boys with their little tool set while dad's working on something. He has his plastic tools. Or maybe mom and the daughter following after, and they have taken care of toy babies as mom takes care of a real baby. And why is that? Well, they're seeing an example, and they're imitating it. They're following that example that's set before them. And the things about examples, as one follows after, is they can be good or they can be bad. Of course, we would all say, you know, it's great to see it, and it's fun to watch kids as they imitate the things that their parents do. And but we probably could also say there's some things that we have done that we do not want our kids to imitate or do. And we don't want to see that in them. And so following after an example isn't always great. It depends on the example that one is following. And so it is, that's the topic of what we get from our passage this morning. If you're there in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to be reading verses 17 through the end of the chapter. Verse 17 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for examples. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Let's go and open in a word of prayer before we dive in. Father, I pray that you be with us now specifically as we come before your word. I pray you allow us to be open to it, Lord, and seek how we might grow in you, Lord, and be with me in the words I say. Allow them to be honoring towards you. And Father, allow us to put away distractions in our minds and have a focus. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Maybe a familiar passage to some of you, but this passage deals with the idea of following after examples. And the first thing that we see right off the bat in verse 17 is a charge to follow godly examples, to follow godly examples. And why do we need examples as people? Why do we even need to follow after examples? Well, first off, Scripture tells us to follow after, but to even go further is because God knows us. He made us. He designed us. He's our creator. And one of the ways that we learn is from examples. How many of you have pulled up a YouTube video on how to do something or how to fix something by learning after someone's examples or getting hand-on training and you being able to learn and practically see how something is done and then being able to implement it yourself. And this is to help us as believers, as we are still here on this earth, we still have our sinful flesh, we still have the temptations of this world. And following after godly examples is a way that helps us follow after, in their example, to follow after God, to make sure that we're learning his truth, to learning from their example on how we ought to live. And so Paul is telling this to the believers to help them and to help in them, lead them in growing as they follow after others' examples. As it says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for examples. It's a way that we learn. Some of you might know that one of the jobs I did in college, I was a forklift driver at a factory, and I did the midnight shift from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and then I would go to classes later that day. I don't recommend it whatsoever. It was a terrible time. And they put me on heavy equipment while I was sleep deprived, but it all turned out well. But working a midnight shift at a factory, you usually don't get, you never know what you're going to get with workers. It might be someone like me who's just more flexibility. It might be other people. But in the department that I was placed, from almost my entire shift, every time I worked, I was the only one that spoke English besides my supervisor, who was usually off in his office. And so they sat me down. This is my first day, and everyone I'm supposed to be learning from, and I'm driving a forklift, I'm going around, it's not like I'm standing next to someone. Everyone there spoke maybe a couple words of English besides me. A little hard to learn. But one of the phrases that they would often tell me is they would say, look at me or watch me. They knew those words. They would see me off my forklift and struggling with something, and they'd pull over, and they would just say, watch me. And the way that I learned how to do my job is not verbally whatsoever, but by watching others' examples and how it is supposed to be done. And we as Christians look at the examples such as Paul and other godly men and women that we might learn and grow as believers. And we see that Paul is saying, you know, follow after him and follow after godly him as a godly example. And of course, Paul is someone we can look at as an example. There's many other people throughout Scripture that we have for examples. We can look at the prophets of the Old Testament. We can look at the apostles. We can look at the believers. There are many examples in which we can learn from Scripture. But he also says, mark them which walk so as ye have us as examples. To also not just to look at Paul, but he says, look at others around you and mark them. Those who are following after like me in godly character, to follow after them. And so we see that the examples that we can look at are our fellow believers around us, are the ones that we can look around this auditorium today and follow after. And this has a bigger meaning than just looking at one's example. Paul isn't saying through this passage that, you know, just look at their example and learn from there, but he's saying follow. He says, brethren, be followers together. This requires us to see the example and then to put it into practice. Kind of the ideas we went through in James, not just being a hearer, not just seeing a godly example, but then putting what we learned into practice. And you might ask, what makes Paul such a great example? What makes Paul so worthy that he can say, look at me, follow me? And we look at this and we say, isn't Paul just a man? Is Paul boasting here by saying, follow after me? Is he kind of lifting himself up by in how great he is, that he is counted as an example? No. This is not what is happening here. Paul is not saying follow me because I'm so amazing. It's not that we follow others around because they're so amazing. They're so great because they're so lifted up. I'm down here. They're way up here. That wasn't the idea that Paul was getting here. Paul, we see in a different passage, which is a very similar call in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, we see him say, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We can follow Paul's example because as he lives, he's living after his Savior. He's living in obedience in following after a Christ-like character. And so as we look at the life of Paul, yes, he was a man he faulted, but when we look at his example, we can see Christ through his actions as he imitates Christ. Right before this text here in Philippians chapter 3, kind of in the middle section, Paul talked about how the knowledge of Jesus Christ is everything to him. Everything else is sewage. But the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him living for him was the focus point of his entire his life here, as we see through Scripture, as he follows after his Savior. And as we follow after godly examples among us today, it's not because they're so great, but as they are godly examples, they are people that we can see are following after Christ-likeness, that they are obeying Scripture, they are applying it to their lives, and we can learn from them because they are following after God, and that we can learn from their godly character as an example. And this is the only reason that we can look at Paul and his life for an example, is because he strived for his Savior, Jesus Christ. When you look at a person to mark them, to see them as examples, we are to make sure that those that we allow to be examples in our life are people who are following God's word and living a life according to it. That way, as we follow their examples, we are not led to them. We're not led in how they act, how they think, but we are led in following after what Scripture says and how they are practically applying it to their life. And so we see the root of this, the root that we can look at of these examples is Christ. It is following after him in obedience and in following after God. And so as we look for examples, and we should, in looking for examples, we are looking for people who are walking in Christ, following in godly character, and being in obedience to God and his word. And that's so crucial. Because who we follow after, you know, if we allow others to have influence in our life, if we allow others to lead us a certain way, we want to make sure that they're following the right path. If one is living for themselves and one is living apart from God, and we follow their example, well, where do you think that's going to lead us? Is it going to lead us closer to God, or is it going to lead us astray? It's going to lead us astray because we're following after one who is not following after God. It might seem kind of simple in that idea that, you know, if one follows after someone who is not following after God, well, it's probably going to lead you further from God. We might say, well, that's simple. That's easy to comprehend. But how are we practicing that in our own life? We need to make sure that we are following after godly men and women in our lives, so that we reserve those who have influence in our life, that we reserve those who we follow after examples to those who are truly seeking God in his word. And we see here that Paul, after saying, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them, and follow after as well, that he then goes into the next couple verses of warning them against false teachers. And so we see Paul saying, follow after godly men and women, follow after believers, and then we go into, and he talks about a warning to that we should not be following after, to beware of these others. In verse 18, it says, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Paul explains in these two verses why it is important to follow after Christ-like examples and not false teachers. Because again, it's a simple idea, a simple fact that who you follow after, you know, where they're following after, where they're striving for, what their focus is, if we follow after their example, that we're going to be led to that same thing. And so Paul gives a little bit of a warning here of these false teachers. And so we see, beware of bad examples. These false teachers that are mentioned here are most likely Judaizers. In the beginning of chapter 3, Paul called out the Judaizers' teaching, and we see that here as well in their description of them. And so that these are false teachers. These are, as Paul describes, are enemies of the cross of Christ. And the reason is that these Judaizers, these false teachers, tried to, they try to bring the law into salvation. They tried to say, well, yes, Jesus is a part, but you also still have to keep the Jewish law. And they tried adding that to that. And we still see that today in our world, a form of works-based salvation that we are to be weary of. And we see their description here that their end is destruction. Of course, as they are enemies of the cross of Christ, they are not believers. They are active enemies against Christ. They have eternal destruction awaiting for them. These false teachers, very obviously, are not following after God. They're not following after Christ. Secondly, we see their God is their belly. This refers to the laws, most likely of the Jewish laws pertaining to one's body, whether it be probably pointing to kosher foods that they boasted and they made themselves great by the laws that they kept, by the things that they did according to the Old Testament and the Jewish law. And they built themselves up upon this. They boasted. And thirdly, we see that they glory in their shame. This has an idea that ties into the last one a little bit, that they are glorifying themselves. They are boasting of themselves in what should be shameful. As they are boasting and pulling themselves up by their own works, by the things that they are doing, they are glorying in their shame. What they're doing as enemies of the cross is shameful. It's bad. It's unrighteous. But they glory in it. And lastly, we see that they mind earthly things. Their minds were on that of the things of this earth. Their minds were set on, you know, the things of this earth. But we as believers are told that our minds are to be on that which is eternal. Our eyes are supposed to be focused on the things above, rather than the things of this earth, rather than our flesh. And what a great contrast you can see between these two examples. Between one who is following after Christ and living in obedience to God, as Paul was, and as he encourages us to find other examples as well. And then contrasting it with these false teachers who had a self-focus, who had a focus on this world, on themselves. The godly example has a focus on their Savior. They have a focus on their God and obeying Him. These false teachers had a focus on themselves and the world around them. And I think especially in today's life that we live in, we have a vast amount of knowledge and information at our fingertips, more than we ever have before. And there are a lot of resources out there that you can go find if you go on Google, that you can go find if you turn on the TV. And there are some who claim to be following after God, but I encourage you to not just blindly trust other resources or other people that you see on TV or the radio or online or the readings of their works. Make sure what they are doing is according to God and His Word. And what happens there again? If you're following after someone who is following after themselves and following after this world, and you know, there are many preachers out there that say they're a preacher following after God, but they have a self-focus in fulfilling their own needs and their own wants, whether it be monetary or other things, who might lead you astray. And if you follow after their example and you allow them to have an influence in your life, and you give them that foothold, well, then you find yourself following after the things that they are following after. That's why it's so important that we pick our examples very carefully. We look at God, we look at the example of Christ, we look at His Word, and we look at other believers and we say, you know, they are following after God. They're following after Christ-like character. And then we know that we can learn from them. You know, sometimes the greatest encouragement that we have, and when we go through tough times, is one, to see how God's worked in our life in the past, but also to see other believers and how they have gone through trials and how God helped them through that. And see how they followed after Him faithfully. A couple weeks ago when we're going through James, James told one, as we looked at patience, to look at the prophets as examples to follow after in patience. As they followed after God during very much high persecution and very difficult trials, were the same as us for as believers. As we live our life day by day, as we allow and help follow after godly influences, it helps encourage us. It helps lead us to God as we go through life's difficulties. Now, I will say that following after a godly example in no way takes away your own study, your own devotion to God and His Word by any means. Rather, this is a way that helps us further. And I'd say as well that this is kind of a double challenge here. As one, we should be looking for godly examples to follow in our life and follow after, and even looking through Scripture and seeing godly examples there. But we should strive that we might be able to be an example for our fellow believers, that we might be an encouragement to our fellow believers in our church, that, you know, as I live my life for Christ, as I do so in obedience to Him and focusing on Him, that I make sure that I am doing so as well, that I am not a stumbling block to my fellow believer, but I can be an encouragement. I can be a help to them as I seek to be grounded in God's Word. And so we see the importance of following after godly examples. And in verse 20, we see that Paul brings us to a head of the reason why. And you might at this time, that, you know, just getting to this last point, asking, I understand why these things are important, but why is Paul pressing this idea so hard, as he does here in different passages? In verse number 20, it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 20, we see our conversation there. This has a deeper meaning in the Greek language, and going back to its meaning, it's a political term meaning to live as a citizen or one's citizenship. So in other words, our citizenship is in heaven. This idea of one's citizenship has even a deeper impact for the Philippian believers as well. As the city that they lived in was an outpost colony of Rome. They did not live in Rome. They were actually decently far from Rome, but they were all Roman citizens for the most part, a lot of them in that city. And so they were citizens of a place that was far away. So it is, we as believers, we live here on earth temporarily for now, but our citizenship isn't this earth. Yeah, we have earthly citizenship. We're a citizen of America, but our true citizenship is in heaven. You know, our true home isn't this earth. We're awaiting to be called home in glory, but our citizenship is in heaven. And this isn't something that we say, yes, one day our citizenship will be in heaven. No, the verb here that talks about this, that we see in this passage, is in the present form, saying that believers, as we live here on earth, that our citizenship is in heaven. And this is Paul, as he kind of brings this to the overarching reason why we are to follow Christ, why we are to follow godly examples. It is that we are to live as citizens of heaven. We are not to live of this world. We're not to live of our flesh. We're not to live of what others might think that of this world, or what their philosophies are, what their teachings are. But we're to follow after godly examples. Because our true citizenship is in heaven. We have a new life through Christ Jesus. Through our salvation in him and through his death and his resurrection, we have salvation through him and we have a new life. No longer unto the things of this world, no longer unto the things of our flesh, but following after God and following after where our citizenship lies, where we belong. And this is Paul's great reason why he encouraged ones to be followers. Don't follow after false teachers. Don't follow after bad examples. Follow after godly examples as they lead you to God. They lead you to the life that you are to be living as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so we see this great reason. And we are to imitate, we are to follow Christ and godly believers to keep our focus on these very things, to keep our focus on God, to keep our focus on serving him, to keep our focus on his word, to keep our focus on how we live day by day and following after him while we live here on earth. In chapter 1, we see a similar idea that Paul says in chapter 1 in verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This idea that we are to live our life in our actions in a way that becometh the gospel. We as believers, as we are saved, as we have been born again onto a new life through Jesus Christ, we are to live out that new life we have in him. We are to live out the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And one of the ways we do that is by following godly examples, but being cautious of false teachers or bad examples in our life. And hopefully that's our great passion, to live in a way that is after our true citizenship of heaven, to live a life that is a testimony unto God, a testimony of where we belong and who we belong to. A couple years ago, I had gone out, and I don't know how many of you know this, but on Thanksgiving Day, there is a tradition that the Detroit Lions, which is a football team, plays every Thanksgiving Day. It had been a great dream of my dad to go to a Thanksgiving Day game for many, many years. I remember as a kid that he had talked about that. One of the problems is, if you want to, it's such a tradition in many people's homes, it's quite expensive. And so we actually had the opportunity to go, me and my brother, and take my dad and to go with him for this. And when we were preparing, one of the things that we wanted to do is we were looking into buying jerseys. I don't know how many of you have looked at purchasing jerseys, but they're not cheap. You can spend hundreds of dollars. And so I opted for just a t-shirt, much cheaper. And I can wear it during the regular days. But there's people who spend tons and tons of money on jerseys, on different things as they go to the game to represent the team that they have. And why do they have such a passion? Because they want others to look at them and say, man, they belong to the Detroit side. They're Detroit fans. And they have such a passion. They have such an eagerness for that. And looking at that, do we have the same eagerness and passion to display where our citizenship lies and who we belong to in our life? They have the eagerness to say, I belong to God. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And have the great desire to show it in the way that we live. We should. And as we do this day by day, I hope that's your passion. I hope that's your desire to follow after God and to be a great testimony for Him, to display where you truly belong to, where your citizenship lies. And God knows us very well. God knows how we learn. God knows how we are able to grow and because He created us. And one of the ways that we grow as people is by examples. By looking at them and putting them into practice. That is why here that Paul, as he writes this, as God's word challenges believers to follow after godly examples, to help them in their walk with God. To encourage them in that way, to help grow them in that way. As we do so, be weary. Don't blindly follow examples. Do some research. What is this person saying? What is they doing? What is their life like? Can I follow after that? It's so crucial. Because who you follow after will determine where it leads you. But I encourage you both to find godly men and women, both in Scripture and around us, and to follow after their example as they serve God. But also strive that you might be a testimony for God as well, that you might be able to be an encouragement and example to fellow believers. That as you live your life, it is obviously seen that your citizenship is in heaven, not of this world. Because the way that you live is after God rather than all the different sins of this world. Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for you and your word this morning. Father, I thank you for godly examples that we can look through your word like Paul, Lord, and many others. I pray, Lord, that we have a great desire to grow and to follow you. Father, I pray that as we do so, that we are able to help in helping us do so, follow after godly examples. That we might grow closer to you, Lord, that they might help strengthen us through your word. Allow us to be careful, though, Lord, with those that we allow to have an influence in our life. Allow us to be mindful of that. And Father, allow us to live a life that is pleasing to you and live a life that is focused on our salvation through Christ rather than the things of this world. And Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.